Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak your words of wisdom, for the words you speak are everlasting life. We sung these words this morning in the gospel acclamation. Think about little Samuel, awakened by the Lord, and his response to the Lord is what ours should be when we hear the gospel acclamation. Wake up and listen. The Lord is about to speak. Today is also about the disciples Andrew and John from the gospel reading today. The words Jesus said to them during their first afternoon with them and how it changed the world. Back to Samuel. Who was he? He wasn't even really supposed to be here. Remember, he was the son of Hannah, who could not bear a son for a long time, no matter how hard she prayed. Earlier in chapter 1 of the book of Samuel, you can read how one time she was praying so hard that she was accused of being drunk by Eli the priest. She was just in an ecstatic state, calling on the Lord with all of her heart, weeping with pain and freely. When she was granted this gift, her son, that she had prayed for, she offered him back to God. All parents here can imagine the heartbreak that must have involved. But all we need to do is look at what glory was shown by her giving Samuel back to the Lord, as she promised. For Samuel was her most precious gift. Samuel became one of Israel's pivotal figures, guiding the nation from the period of the judges to the new monarchy. For the Lord was with him, permitting not a word of his to be without effect, proving once again that what we give back to the Lord is multiplied hundredfold. As we continue to focus on Hannah and Samuel, draw the correlation between Hannah offering Samuel to the Lord and baptism, specifically our children's baptism. But if we don't have children, focus on our own baptism. Think about for a minute how we offered, or how our parents were offered us to the church. We were anointed, clothed in white, called to holiness. We were claimed by Jesus Christ. We were called out of darkness. And Paul reminds us of this in his letter to the Corinthians, where he says, our body is not for immorality. Avoid immorality. It's for the Lord. It's a temple of the Holy Spirit within us. We are not our own. We are purchased at a price. And finally, we are glorified. We are to glorify God. Easier said than done. So what do we give back to the Lord to glorify him? In our gospel today, we continue the story from last week, only now instead of reading from Mark, we read from John the Evangelist. John the Evangelist does not tell of the temptation of Christ or the arrest of John the Baptist, but the storyline is close. Jesus has been baptized by John, and John the Baptist, once again, points the way to Jesus. Just as our baptism orients us to Jesus. John tells the soon-to-be disciples, behold the Lamb of God. And Andrew and John follow Jesus. Why? What did the words Lamb of God mean to them? We have no real way of knowing for sure. A lot of theologians have spent many years discussing exactly what this meant to a first century Jew. And we're still discussing what this means to us today. We think Savior, bearer of sins, sacrifice, Eucharist. But it's not likely John and Andrew had any thoughts like that. But that's okay. We don't need to know what Andrew and John thought for the purposes of our lives today. For what we can say is that the words were said, and the disciples heard them in such a way that they stopped what they were doing and followed him. The words, behold the Lamb of God, had sufficient enough force to have these guys drop whatever they were doing and to follow Jesus. They were called. And after staying with him that day, Andrew was convinced he was the Messiah. How many of us have heard a word, a term, possibly a speech, where it did not immediately make sense to us what the words meant or why we were drawn to follow them, but we were drawn to follow them, to get nearer, to investigate. And upon investigation, we understood what the call meant. Maybe it didn't happen in an afternoon like it did for Andrew and John, but it did happen. I'll take myself as an example. What I'm about to tell you is one of the many kinds of these sort of experiences. I can tell you I'm not special. I have no special gift. I'm just a guy who loves God, who tries to follow Jesus. So when I was sitting over in section 5 behind the choir, as we did every night, the Danlish is over there now. They took our spot. As I always was, I heard it. I heard the call. It was after Sunday Mass, 9 o'clock Mass, and the announcements were being made. Deacon Bob Ewan, who is the director of the diaconal program for the diocese, came and announced to us that he was putting on, they were forming a cohort, the first cohort in 10 years, for men who are interested to find out about the diaconate, to decide whether to discern for the diaconate. I don't really remember the words he said, but I do remember the tug, the pull in my heart, like Elijah in the still small voice. But my calling wasn't really audible. It was visceral. Now, this wasn't the first time I'd thought about the diaconate. I had talked to Deacon Chris 2 years before, but at that time, there really wasn't anything going on for people who wanted to find out about it. So it dropped. But as Deacon Bob was talking, I felt that tug on my heart. And I continue to feel that tug. Nothing more. No great vision. Just a tug. Up till ordination and to this day. At that time, I knew nothing about the diaconate, and of course, I'm still learning today. And to be honest, I still don't have a completely clear vision of what God has in store for me. I'm simply following the tug. And you just never really know what God has in store for you when you try to act out what Paul reminded us of today. That what we have, our body, mind, and soul, is not really our own. Now, I answered that call in a small way. And I haven't changed the world, but I have been changed. But the disciples answering the call to the voice of God changed the world as we know it. To say that the world as we know it might not have existed without their following Jesus is not an understatement. A quick study of world history points out the impact Christianity has had on a civilization. Think about the impact of the monasteries, convents, bishops, priests, monks, sisters, deacons, theologians, the university system, theories of social justice. Imagine the world without St. Thomas Aquinas and other saints, and the list goes on and on. It all started with that one moment when Andrew and John followed Jesus and stayed with him for a while. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak your words of wisdom, for the words you speak are everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.